Hey guys, what's going on? I'm Swizzle.
I'm Rockin' Gamer.
And this is No Regrets 93.
And we are All Things Gaming. Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome back to All Things Gaming. I'm Swizzle, and if you guys are enjoying the show, give it a rating, whether you're listening on Apple, Google, Spotify, or whatever other choice you choose to listen to the podcast on. We greatly appreciate it, and so yeah, with that, let's get into today's episode.
Yeah, so we got a couple different news topics for today, but not as many as last time. Most of the best stuff that's going to happen, that's going to be the biggest news breakers, is later this week. Especially with the Xbox event this Thursday. And but the first topic we're going to be talking about is Xbox Live Gold. Microsoft discontinued the 12-month Xbox Live Gold cards you can buy from their store and the digital version, too. So speculation going around now is that they might be making multiplayer free or putting it into Game Pass somehow.
Which means Xbox is the superior one now.
Okay, now we're not the Xbox podcast only, but
yeah, but I mean, I'm excited because I hate paying for freaking online play, man. Like, Steam is lit. That's why I like Steam. You don't have to pay for that. I mean, you gotta pay for the game, but
yeah, I feel like they should incorporate into the Game Pass somehow, or like having like season pass to where it's like, you know, your 12 months. I mean, I understand like the 1 and 3 months, you know, if you're still doing like the free monthly trials for, you know, new Xbox Live subscriptions. But I also think that if they're going away with 12 months, they should at least make it free for like that first year, then after, you know, kinda say, okay, we can break it up in payments for you, like you do 4 installments in 3 months of, you know, $24.99 or whatever it is now for 3 month subscription.
Yeah, but if I do think that they will do this though, because even though it makes them so much money and it's been for years, it's kind of outdated. And with how they're trying to be, you know, every single Xbox exclusive is also on PC at the same time now, and the PC players get to do it for free and always have. So it would just make sense for them to abandon that for next gen, and that way, they could also get more people on Game Pass, and they also could still keep where you have to pay for multiplayer, but instead of it being gold, you have to buy Game Pass, and it'll be a part of the Game Pass subscription.
See, yeah, I think if they do switch to free, they should at least add like a premium version that you can pay for, and you'll be able to get games and
yeah.
Like, yeah, you'll be able to get the game, like, you know, I don't know, just offer like how they have games with gold or whatever.
Yeah.
I think they should do that and keep that type of thing.
Yeah, my guess is that they'd fold that into Game Pass to where if that is free multiplayer, you'd buy Game Pass, and then out of all those 100 or so games that's in Game Pass, you can maybe get, like, every month they'd have 2 you could get for free, or you could pick them, or they would just have them pre-set up for them, or you can keep them forever instead of, you know, because some games when they leave Game Pass, they're gone, or some games you can still pay for, but
and
just
still,
let you get them for free.
And there's still some games on Game Pass that really aren't that great, in my opinion. Like, I mean, there's still like,
yeah, they have to have smaller stuff, too, to get the content.
Yeah, no, I was just saying, I wish they'd give, like, some more bigger titles. Like, I know there's a ton of big titles already, but there's still also those, like, really weird, like, indie-type games. At least last time I had Game Pass, there was just, like, some weird indie games that I'm just like, eh.
It's gotten, it's completely changed now.
Okay, good.
It's a lot better on both PC and PC still has a while to go because it's still in beta, but Xbox Game Pass with, like, stuff like Red Dead's been on there now, and GTA was on there. GTA 5 was.
Yeah. So. Which, I mean, if you've never bought GTA, I mean, that would be the time, or now would have been the time to get it when they had it.
Yeah. If they got rid of having to pay for multiplayer, that would really hurt PlayStation, I think.
Yeah, I don't think PlayStation still has to pay, don't they? They're still paying.
Well, yeah, but also they wouldn't have, Sony's has not even the portion of value that Microsoft is worth. So Microsoft can afford to do without the gold, but PlayStation, I don't think they could. And also they're so far behind with their infrastructure on the networking side that I don't know for sure if that would be a good idea for them to follow suit or if they could even have the money to do that.
I guess we'll see. I mean, I'm sure they're going to do it. I'm sure Microsoft will do it. We'll just see, have to see how Sony handles it in the next couple of years during the entry into the next gens. Like, I mean,
yeah,
they might introduce it not this year or next, like, the following year or something like that, just to kind of compete, or like they'll lower their prices to see if they can bring people, depending on how the sales of the systems go. But
and I think they'll know. Yeah, and also PlayStation is limiting, or there at least there's been from not hackers, but people have found in the code of the website for the pre-order of PlayStation 5 that you can only buy one per household supposedly. So that's gonna be. I think it's a good idea so a bunch of scalpers don't buy a bunch of them and sell them all for $1,000 each.
Yeah, we'll just, I don't know. I'm really just hoping that they hurry up and like release the stuff so I can start playing on something.
Yeah, I'm thinking well, November for both, but I'm hoping October for one of them. That'd be nice.
I'll probably buy myself a console like I did when the Xbox One came out for Christmas, a gift to myself.
Yeah, that's probably what it's going to end up being. And onto our next topic is Jeff Keighley got to use the PlayStation 5 DualSense controller, the replacement for the DualShock controller for PlayStation 5, and he got to use it on. They still have a Summer of Gaming that he hosts, and that's where they showed it, or he showed it. And he also got to talk to one of the CEOs, but I can't remember his name right now. But yeah, the controller looks a lot bigger than the PlayStation 4 controller does. So, and also it has, yeah, and also it has more of like a, kind of like the banana shape of that PlayStation 3 controller a little bit. Not as exaggerated, but it kind of has that banana shape to
the. It looks like, I don't know, it looks like they're trying to, like, go with the size of the Xbox One controller. Because I feel like that's about as big as the first original Xbox One controllers were.
Yeah.
Judging by the picture, anyways.
Just like how the console's larger, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, maybe they're just trying to be like, yo, look, we can flex mm-hmm. harder.
Yeah, Jeff Keighley said it is bigger than the DualShock, but that it weighs a little bit more, and it does feel, but it does not feel substantially heavier. And he says it feels more structured to hold in the hands, and the triggers are one of the big things about it. There's, I think they're adaptive trigger? Or, yeah, well, adaptive triggers that are gonna have like a bit of like a tension when you pull down on them. They'll like stop at a certain like level if you like in a game. If you're using a bow or something like that, you'll feel a tension more easily. And I think they're also having vibration in the triggers like Xbox does. And then they're gonna have I think they're still having the motion controls inside.
That's good. I mean, that's the one thing I really liked about the Xbox One controller was when you shot it. And it had, like, that force feedback and the trigger.
Yeah, the little bit of vibration.
Yeah, it was really cool.
I love that still. It's just really satisfying to shoot in games like Halo.
Yeah,
It feels like you're actually shooting something. Even though it doesn't really pull back at you like this does. But,
right.
It also has a speaker in the thing itself, the controller. So I think that a lot of kids on Fortnite are going to end up yelling all over the whole place with it. And it still has the speaker on it, too, so...
I think it's cool that they're keeping that speaker feature because, like, with games like Grand Theft Auto 5, and I know Need for Speed Payback had it to where, you know, you get in pursuits, instead of playing out of your TV, you could play it directly out of the controller, and it would flash the blue and red.
Yeah, and you hear the sirens from your controller. There's other games like, like menu sounds and stuff is usually what it's used for. But hopefully it'll be used more on the PS5 because it never really got used that much in PS4. And there's still the touchpad. And, yeah, I like the look of it, kind of, but...
It's too white. It's just... I don't know. It's just... I don't like white controllers. Like, I feel like that's going to get dirty so fast. It's going to show everything. I don't know. It's just... Bright controllers, for me, just don't work.
Right. But on to our next topic. The game Crysis from 2007, which was part one of the most... graphically pushing games of the era.
Wait, what game?
Crysis.
Oh, yeah, for the Switch. I haven't seen anything on that, and you just told me that today, and, like, honestly, I'm probably going to buy it. I want to see if the Switch can actually...
It's only $30, $29.99, too.
Oh, God, only $30? I don't know.
So, but yeah, the Switch, the other versions, people didn't like the trailer that they showed for the Xbox One and PS4. People didn't like what it looked like. So they kind of were going back to the drawing board a little bit, and they delayed it, but I don't know how long. They never said. But the Switch version is still on due for the 23rd, so Thursday, same day as the Xbox event.
I'm kind of heated that it's the original Crysis. I played that on my PC and I didn't like it. It just felt really clunky. Crysis 2, in my opinion, was more fun.
The first game felt good. It's just that the story, like the aliens came out of nowhere and it's kind of just weird.
Yeah, it threw me in and I didn't know what the hell was going on right off the bat. I'm like, what? Yeah. Graphically, it looked awesome for a game that old, but...
Yeah, then the remaster is going to make it even look better. And I'm surprised it's going to run on the Switch. Well, Switcher did, so...
Well, if this runs good and they can figure out how to put it on the Switch, I'm sure there's going to be a lot more games that'll... Like, AAA big games that'll come out to the Switch, which makes me happy to own one because... Yeah, there's not... I mean, they have some ones that are, like, exclusive to the Switch, but I'd like to see some more, like, I don't know, I'd like to see some more bigger games come to it. Like Watch Dogs or something like that would be cool.
There was a leak today that Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, the one from 2010, might be coming to the Switch and maybe even other consoles. Did you play that in the Rugrats when it came out?
Not directly when it came out. I played it, a few years after once they had it. Put it on, I believe they had it on the EA Access for a while, I want to say.
Yeah, they had the back compat version, I think.
Yeah, and so that was fun. I liked the fact that they brought, you know, that style of Need for Speed back. I like the fact that they're going more with, like, the cop chases and, like, the criminal underground side of, like, racing syndicates and stuff, too. And I think it's very important, you know, for them to go back. Because, I mean... Like, Pro Street was good. I liked that one, you know, the circuit racing aspect and the drag racing and the drift and stuff. I didn't really care for Need for Speed Carbon all too much. You know, Need for Speed Underground 2 was probably my favorite one in the series up until Need for Speed Heat.
Yeah, Need for Speed Underground 2 is still the best, in my opinion. But Hot Pursuit 2010 is still really good. So, it's either a port... They don't know for sure if it's a port or if it's a complete remaster, but it's probably just a port
to the Switch. I got that game for free on my PC out of a Humble Bundle or something, and I played it for a little bit. It was all right.
Yeah, I have a steering wheel, and I bought the game not that long ago. It was only like $2 or $3, and it doesn't even work with it. And I have to do a bunch of settings, and it didn't even work still. And And then the game crashed all the time because it's old on newer hardware. It doesn't like it.
That's ironic that it won't work with a steering wheel.
No, no. Well, there's a lot of games that didn't, and even some of the newer Need for Speeds were criticized. Because I don't even think Heat had steering wheel support at the beginning, but now it does, so.
Huh. Just to throw in an extra topic here that I was kind of scrolling through IGN just to see what I kind of missed this week. I don't know if you know who Logic is rocking, but...
I've seen his face, but I've never heard anything.
Evidently, he's stopping rapping and he's streaming exclusively for Twitch, which is that's weird. Like, I guess he signed It said it's a big amount of money. Like, they're talking in the millions for him to stream. Which, I mean, that's cool and all, but like, really, he's gonna quit rapping over that? Like.
Well, yeah, I think, too, like, in rap, he did receive a lot of backlash because in one of his songs, you know, he talks about, like, being, like, half black and stuff, and a lot of, like, rappers were like, he's not half black, look at him, he looks extremely white, he looks almost Jewish, and it's like, yeah, and because you have rappers like J. Cole who are mixed, and you can tell that J. Cole is obviously mixed, and J. Cole's, you know, one of my favorite newer rappers, you know, he's very humble for his upbringing and understands where his fans are at and stuff and reaches out to people. He's not one of those, I'm leeching my money off of you, that's all I want from you is money. Like, he understands, you know, what it's like to grow up in rough situations.
That's true, yeah. I mean, who knows? Maybe he'll be a great streamer. I don't know. I've never seen him play a video game, so I don't know what he plays. I don't know what he's going to get into.
I feel like it's going to get down to a battle between him and Post Malone, because Post streams all the time. Post is a big, like, video gamer as well. Like, he plays games and stuff, and, you know, he plays Call of Duty. He'd get mad, but he, you know, that's the thing is, like, a lot of, like, with Logic and Post is they play a lot of games, and Post is pretty talented at it, you know, and I know he talks about he doesn't like being around with people a lot, so he'll go and play video games and still interact, and I think that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, another artist that streams that I watch personally would be Deadmau. Like, he's funny. I like watching him. And he doesn't just do games. He also does some music production sometimes, because, like, if you ever watch, he has, like, a house tour online somewhere, and you go into his studio, and it's, like, custom built by Dolby, and it's, like, it's a disgusting setup. I don't know. He spent millions into it, and it looks really cool. So, like, he has videos while he, or streams while he's in there, and it's, like, really cool to see all that stuff in action. And I don't know. It's kind of cool to see more celebrities kind of just retiring, quote-unquote, from their thing and just getting into video games.
Yeah. There also today was a Nintendo Switch Direct, but it was just a mini one. It was, like, 8 minutes long, and it was third-party only games, but they showed Cadence of Hyrule, which is a game that they've come out with a couple years ago from the Crypt of the Necro Dancer. It's a crossover between that and Legend of Zelda, and it's getting some DLC packs and some story content. And then there's a game called Rogue Company, which I had never heard of, but I guess it's already been announced. I don't know when, but there's another trailer for it that's gonna be running on the Switch. And it's going to be on early access on Switch today, too. So it's a team shooter. So, and then WWE 2K Battlegrounds had a new trailer showed off for that.
That just sounds like a WWE Battle Royale game.
Well, it's kind of like a mix of Smash with the actual WWE games, but it's more arcade.
That's wild. If it's anything,
it's like
Smash.
Backyard Wrestling, that game from years ago.
Oh God, I don't know. I might get it. That might be kind of fun, dude. Be
mixed
like Rey
Smash.
Mysterio or something. And just...
I think it's gonna be good to change up the formula, because 2K20 was absolute donkey. Like, it was so bad. It got released way too early. Too many glitches. You know, you had to have so many updates, and it still glitches, and it's just ridiculous.
Even,
that, you know, 2K did this crap, and it's like, okay, you're gonna release it. That just shows that Vince McMahon is money hungry still. That dude's like 70 some years old, and he still wants all this money. It's like, dude, you're
gonna
chill.
Die.
Like, I'm surprised that, you know, his daughter Stephanie and his son-in-law Paul Levesque haven't bought the company from him yet.
They probably can't.
They could.
Probably
doesn't
want to sell, though.
Because Vince bought it from his dad, and Vince was only, like, in his 30s or 40s when he bought then WWF from his dad.
I have not played a good wrestling game since SmackDown vs. Raw. I really haven't, because, like, that's the only game you can make your own character, and they fit you into everything, and you can battle for belts, you can whoop everybody's asses like you want to, like, Rey Mysterio, you can whoop his ass, Undertaker, you know, like, I miss those games.
Yeah, I never really got much into them.
I will say 2K13 was good, because it had showcase mode, so you can relive some of the Attitude Era, like, the late 90s, like, D-Generation X, you know, Outlaws, Nation of Domination, the Heart Foundation, Stone Cold and Brian Pillman.
Oh my God.
Which is crazy. And they throw some WCW storylines in there. So you have Steve Austin and Brian Pillman as the Hollywood Blondes. And it's crazy, because you look at how wrestling was back then compared to how protected it is now, like the movesets and everything, mm-hmm. and the wellness policies. And it's just like, it's changed. I mean, yes, it's getting safer, but at the same time, it's not as entertaining.
It really isn't. Like, I think I caught, like, one show the other, like, a couple, probably, like, 2 years ago, and I watched, like, 10 minutes of it, and I'm like, nah. This is not what I remember it being. This is too, it's way too showmanshipy. Like, it's too...
Well, it's acted out entirely, and it, you, like, of course, when you were younger, you don't notice things like that, but they seen that they're not as good of actors as they used to be.
Well, not only that either,
it's more blatantly fake is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but like not only that either, but like back in the day that it was a little bit more well scripted.
Yeah.
And they made it less fake, but nowadays it's just like.
And they still, no matter what, of course, they can still get hurt and they still do have contact, but it's not nearly as crazy as what it was in like the 80s where they actually would sometimes actually hit each other with chairs and shit on purpose.
That's how it should be. Like, you want to have a wrestling show, that's how it should be.
I was watching this thing on Facebook, and it was Mark Calloway, a.k.a. The Undertaker, on the Broken Skull Session, which is Stone Cold Steve Austin's podcast that he does. And he brings in, like, old wrestlers and stuff, and he's talking about his very first, like, professional wrestling match. And it was either NWA territory at that time or WCW when he got started. And he's talking about Bruiser Brody. And he was talking about his match. Well, instead of the metal chairs that they had the metal ones that had the wood flat on, you know, the seat. And he's talking about how he did Bruiser Brody dirty in a match, and Bruiser Brody laid him on the table, and he picked one of the chairs up and actually broke the wood against the back of the Undertaker and, like, broke it across his shoulder blades. And he would talk that you could see, like, the wood split and go everywhere.
That's how they should be, like... I don't know. I just feel like they need to go back to some stuff like that in order for me to even, like, entertain it. But if we're talking about the video game side of things, they need to go back to the SmackDown vs. Raw era and bring back, like, those types of things. Because when you met the people, it was cool. The interactions were cool. You could make friends, make enemies. Like, you could have garage fights. Like, it was just a good time.
Yeah, well, speaking of wrestling games... All Elite Wrestling, which is basically WWE's like top rival in wrestling promotions now, which was co-founded by Cody Rhodes, the late great Dusty Rhodes' youngest son, and the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega. Well, they had an unsanctioned match with Jon Moxley, formerly known as Dean Ambrose in the WWE as part of the Shield, versus Kenny Omega, who's this superstar over in, you know, New Japan Pro Wrestling. And it was like barbed wire bats. It was like the old school Mick Foley when he was Cactus Jack type of matches. And it got called one of the most controversial matches of this era, of the PG era of wrestling, because of just how gruesome it was.
Like, he hit him with a baseball bat with barbed wire and
on
stuff,
it, yes.
And this shit, like, it actually...
cut him open and stuff.
That's
and held
wild.
It against his head.
That's wild. See, that would be a fun game where you could do that. That'd be great. That'd be like the old days where, like, first blood matches and all that jazz.
Yeah. Which a lot of people didn't know. Even in the games, they would blade, which is obviously, you know, a small razor blade or something. And, you know, where they'd look where they get hit, and they'd have it right here. And when they'd go like that to cover their face, and they'll blade a little bit, and that's what started the blood.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the end of that, they showed Shin Megami Tensei 3 Remaster and Shin Megami Tensei 5. I never played those games because I'm not into JRPGs at all. I hate JRPGs.
I don't mind JRPGs. I don't think I've ever seen any gameplay. I've never touched those games. Like, the name, just to me, I'd look at it and be like, no.
Yeah, the name is I don't know what it means. It's probably something Japanese.
Yeah, it probably means, like, those who float with birds or something, you know, like... I don't know, I don't know. It sounds cool, but, like, I swear I've picked up multiple cases of that title and look at it, and I'm like, this does not look interesting, like... But, I mean, they keep making them, so they gotta be good. I mean, there's gotta be a market out there somewhere, whether... I mean, it's probably... I don't know if it's high here. I don't know the numbers on their sales in America, but
yeah,
sure. I don't know.
It's always been a cult series. Is there anything else topic wise we got?
I don't know. This week's kind of just dry. It's really dry. There's not much that's coming out. There's not much that, like. News.
It's just later this week on Thursday is when it seems like it's all going to pick up. After the Xbox event, so.
Yeah, after the Xbox event, I'm sure it's gonna be us talking another hour and a half long session.
Just, especially if we have Frybot back, which we don't know for sure. He's gonna be more of a irregular on the show, but we're trying to get him to be more of a regular. But
another Another kind of like off-topic thing is the show that Rockin found and told me about. I think was the Sims Sparked reality show.
It was a reality show on TBS where players play the Sims and try to like come up with the most creative. I think it said buildings, but I don't know if they're building houses or characters or what it is.
Yeah, I watched the trailer on it. It's teams of four. I think it's like three teams of four come up with a story. They build everything from scratch. Yeah, and they try and create the most like heartfelt stories and stuff like that. Like it showed a clip.
So are they trying to create? So one person's gonna build a house that for all of them to live in. One's gonna make like a machinima type story, and they're gonna like have like a little machinima of video of the game. Or
I don't know. I really don't know. It showed them like explaining. It showed them okay. So how the trailer for it went was showed them announcing like the teams, showed them designing their Sims, showed them building, and then like you know talking like they do on the reality shows. And then it showed at the end, like, when they were doing the judging, that it showed, like, them going through the story of what happened and, like, them explaining, you know, like, I think it was some guy had, like, a battle with cancer and, like, something like this, and the judges were crying and stuff like that. And they're playing for, like, $250,000. So it's obviously got to be something that you have to build a story, and I'm sure it has to be, like, a machinima type thing. I don't know. I want to watch it. I really do. So I just need to see what it's on and figure that out.
Yeah, it looked all right.
But yeah, I think that was about all the topics we had
for the news section of our
for the
show.
News. Other than that, oh yeah, you guys wanted to talk about? Didn't you want to talk about the Spider-Man thing?
Yeah, it's just a small little news bit that came out earlier today. The Spider-Man Miles Morales game is going to have an optional 4K 60 FPS performance mode, kind of like PS4 games and Xbox One X games do now. So hopefully, and it looks like it's going to probably get rid of things like ray tracing and probably higher graph. It's going to have lower graphics overall. So it can run at that 60 FPS. But that means probably there's going to be like a beautiful mode or whatever they call it.
Like a pack that you can download or something?
No, it's already in the base game's version of it. Or there's two modes in the game. The optimal one, and then there's the performance mode. And then there's just the plain mode. But it has probably ray tracing and higher just overall graphics settings.
Right.
So it's only going to be 30 FPS though, so... And I guess that's one thing that they're going to have with the Xbox. I'm pretty sure that they have stated before that they're going to have more 60 FPS games or higher frame rates on their next-gen console on the Series X. So hopefully it'll be that way, because higher frame rate to me is always better than resolution.
Yeah, if it runs smoother and the graphics have to suffer a little bit, that's fine. I like my stuff to be fluid and not, like, you know, botchy here and there and... because of the graphics like instantly loading up and bogging it down and being like, oh my god, there's so much going on.
So yeah, hopefully all the exclusives to Xbox will be 60 FPS or higher, because that'll be a big advantage for their exclusives. Will at least run better at higher frame rates. So I think for our get to know us section, we're going to do our top 5 favorite consoles from each of us.
Who wants to go first on that? No regret, or do you want Rock?
Oh, I'll go ahead and go first. Okay. So, on top 5 consoles, I'm going to go to my 5th least favorite to my most favorite. And the 5th one is probably the Sega Master System, which is the first console that I played on. It was my parents bought it. I think they bought it in 88, and I was born in 93, and they still had it around. And I'd play the game OutRun on it, which is one of my favorite racing games. And they also had a game called Gangster Town that you'd use the light phasers for. I'm pretty sure me and Swizzle have played that years ago, but he probably doesn't remember it.
Yeah, I definitely don't
remember. It was at my grandpa's downstairs. They had it. For some reason, it was at my grandpa's, because my parents used to live at my grandparents', and then, of course, when they moved out, they didn't. So, but they left that console there in their basement on their TV, and we would play OutRun, that, and Gangster Town, and then the MLB game, the baseball game. I don't think it was MLB, but... too early for licensed stuff, but yeah, it was a lot of fun, and The light phaser is really cool. But you can only use it on analog TVs. Can't use it now on modern ones. And then my fourth most favorite console is probably the Sega Dreamcast. And I never actually owned one myself, but my brother's friend brought one over once, and he kept it there for some reason for months. And I'd keep playing it when they weren't there, my brother and his friend. And I always played Sonic, and I can't remember what it's called, but it was a game where you're a tank, and you would shoot aliens, and you could actually destroy buildings. It was like the first game I'd ever play where you could destroy buildings around you. It was really epic. And there was an online game. There's actually been a resurgence in it, and through emulators, and you can actually play the game online again through a community.
Hmm.
And then my third favorite console is probably the original Xbox. We had a PS2 for years, like 2 or 3 years probably, and then that completely broke. I don't remember what happened. I think the disc drive. Tried to get it repaired, and then it never ended up getting fixed after they supposedly fixed it. And so after that happened, decided to get a original Xbox for it with our Christmas money. And I got Spider-Man 2 was the first game I had for it. And played a crap ton of that. And even before, though, I did play... My brother also had another friend who brought over his original Xbox. And... it was probably even in 2001, right after it came out. And I remember my brother and his friend playing Halo 1 together on that, and it just blew my mind. And they got to the flood part in Halo 1, where they all started coming out. We were all screaming and yelling because we were shocked that but that's a surprise twist. You never saw it coming. And and then after I got my own console, I played Halo 2, and then a bunch of other games. So, then my second favorite console is the Xbox 360. And that took everything the original Xbox did and added a crap ton more features. Had games like Halo 3, which is one of my favorite games of all time. It had the Gears games. And it's just one of my favorite consoles. And the controller is also one of my favorite controllers of all time. And then my number one... is probably the hardest one, because I really like my Xbox One, but I think like the Switch more because of its versatility and Animal Crossing's on it, which I already have like 200 hours on, and Breath of the Wild's one of my favorite games of all time, so I'd say that's my favorite console, at least for now, until the next gen comes out. I think the Series X might end up taking that, because that's what I'm going to get first, so.
Alright, I guess I'll go next. Oh boy. So I grew up in a mostly Nintendo house for a while. I'm gonna have to start with number five being probably my favorite was probably my Game Boy Advance SP. Like my fit, like starting the list off, I played Pokemon forever.
I think every kid your age did.
Yeah, exactly. every time a new Pokemon game came out, I got it. I would beg my mom. I would probably cry because everybody else would have it. Yep.
Sneak it into the cart?
Yep, I actually did. Yeah, I used to, because they used to have games out on the shelves in those boxes, and I would just throw it in the cart. Ho would get up front, and she'd be like, "Are you freaking kidding me? Whatever." And then she'll buy it.
That's exactly how she sounds, by the way.
Yep, I was like, yes. So, that's probably one of the portability. It was just a little tiny square you could fit in your pocket. It had a backlight, which was great considering the other Game Boys never had that. The battery life on it was really good, actually. I remember playing it for like 6 hours at a time. And that's when it would finally turn red, and I'd have to go plug it in. And let's see, number four after that would probably have to be my PlayStation 1. We had three different kinds. We had the big old square box one. We got the...
PS1.
Yeah, and then there was the circle one, just the small circle one that was white, and the back of it was flat. And I remember it would go into like a circle, like a half circle. It was weird. I don't remember what, I don't know why we had that one. And then we had the What's the other one?
I think that's all for the PS1.
Was it?
I thought they just had the two, but
I thought they had a third one because I remember having a smaller version PS1.
Yeah, that because there was PlayStation, which was the full one, and then they just kind of like, you know how the Xbox One has the Xbox One S, then they had the. It's kind of like, yeah, they just shortened the name. It was weird.
Yeah, okay, that's probably
it's called
what it
PS1.
Was
it was yeah. weird. I never got the naming behind it.
I remember getting those because my mom had the Tom and Jerry game on there that we used to play all the time. I remember eating those Go-Gurt sticks, and I think it was Sheridan's dad at the time or Caitlin's dad at the time. and we'd
sisters.
Be, yeah, one of my sister's dads, and we would, after dinner, practically like every other night, we'd be playing games. There was that clay fighting game. I don't remember what that one was called.
Clay Fighter?
Clay Fighter, yeah. That my mom loved that game, and I actually grew up playing that too. That was really fun. NHRA Drag Racing I played on there. That was cool because you could like buy cars, and it was like you could cut like upgrade them a little bit. It was pretty fun.
It's pretty crazy for a PS1 game.
Yeah, it was cool. Let's see. After that...
Third.
Oh, man. This is hard because I had a lot of consoles.
Mm-hmm. You've had almost all of them since the Nintendo...
Yeah. I'd probably go with PS2. PS2, I mean, I had the... We started off with the Fat Boy just like everybody else, and then once that crapped the bed, we got a Slim. The games I played on that ranged everywhere. I played all the GTAs from, like... I think my favorite
Three
one
Vice
was
City.
Probably yeah. I think my favorite one was Vice City, and then San Andreas after that, and then Scarface was pretty great. Man, there's just a lot of PS2 games I played.
Yeah, I get caught on the crap.
Yeah, game. I can't even think about half of them.
Oh, Hitman Blood Money.
Yeah, Blood Money was great. Going on to number two. Oh boy, I'm going to have to say the Wii. I'm not going to lie. The Wii was really fun because Animal Crossing
Wii.
City Folk, for me, was the most time-consuming game I ever played. It was cool because the motion controls when it came out...
Yeah, they were cool because also we were still younger, too.
Yeah.
Not young, but
it's
like...
It's something we never,
younger
like,
teenagers. So.
Yeah, and it's something that I've never used before, so to see that was pretty awesome. Playing Tiger Woods on that was phenomenal.
Bowling.
Yeah, bowling. I mean, let's be real.
Good
bowling concept. What launch title came, or what launch console came with the game and that you didn't want to stop playing? Like, let's be real.
Yeah, it's probably, there's other consoles that have come with games, but that is the one that's, like, the biggest one that's ever come with a game.
Exactly. Like, I mean, let's be real. Bowling, tennis, like, you could do everything on there and it was fun. Basketball, like... It was crazy. Like, I remember dumping hours. Then I got, I went and stayed at my friend Logan's house, and he had Animal Crossing, I'm pretty sure, is where I played it at first. And I was like, yo, what is this game? Because I'd never heard of it before, because I didn't play it on GameCube or anything like that. And so I picked that up. I played Super Smash Brothers on it. Like, that's when I got really into Super Smash. And, I think that's the highlight of that for me. Like, anything else I didn't really care about. After a while, the game started to get meh. I mean, the Call of Duty stuff was kind of boring and not really that great.
Oh, on the Wii?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My number one is... I'm going to have to just throw it back to a PSP. I feel like the PlayStation Portable was far above its time. I mean, the games that came out on it were fun, phenomenal. I had a PSP 1000, 2000, 3000. I even owned a Vita for a little bit until I sold that because I realized that it was dying, which sucks because I loved that console. I used to take it to middle school every day and play games.
Yo, I remember that. Mm-hmm. I remember waiting for the class to start.
Yep, me and Frybot used to sit before school and just play our PSPs.
You'd switch games sometimes.
Yep. We even switched with Mitchell sometimes.
Logan, too.
Yeah,
I remember
too,
playing
yep.
Grand Theft Auto Vice City Stories for the first time I saw that. I was like, what the hell? I didn't even know they had it at
yep.
the time.
Yeah, where you could like start your own like
it, yeah.
empire and stuff. Yep.
The, cool thing about that, it was pretty much the Switch before the Switch without a dock, basically.
Right, yeah. Like, and what I, how I'm saying is, like, the reason I say it was before its time is because it brought such great games, and like the price tag wasn't that harsh, and you could expand the memory on it, and the graphics looked awesome. Like, you could get movies, you could get music videos, concerts.
Yeah, the
like,
movie thing was unexpected back in the day. I was shocked at when they had UHD videos.
I had the first two Rush Hour movies on that thing. Like, that was, like, I used to lay down at my mom when I lived at home, and I used to just watch Rush Hour on my PSP, and then I'd throw in a game.
I just watched those movies of the day.
Yeah, like, it's just, I mean... But yeah, I think that's gonna be rounding off my top five. No regrets. Your turn.
These are in no particular order whatsoever. We're gonna go extreme old school Super Nintendo. Like, why not? Donkey Kong, Mario, all the great games that came out, you know, on these first consoles. Yep. And then we're gonna go Sega Genesis. Grew up, had one of those. Loved it. I mean, just, you know, you play Tarzan on there, you play Castlevania, you had your first Madden games on there.
Oh yeah, that's why one of the first games I remember seeing.
You had Desert Storm, you had Sonic, you had Knuckles and Tails on there as well, the expansion for that. Number three, GameCube. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of like the exclusive to that console games, you had 1080 Avalanche, WrestleMania 18, Super Mario Sunshine Island, the Wii, for the fact that you could play GameCube games on there as well.
Yeah, the original model.
Yeah, it's cool because you could use the GameCube controller on there and not just, you know, the Wiimote and the joystick and stuff like that. And then last but not least, OG Xbox. You know, you had basically the first two Tony Hawk games with improved graphics brought to that console. You've had, you know, MX Unleashed, MX vs. ATV, Untamed. You had a lot of the sports games, but then you also got into, like, Mercenaries and stuff like that.
It's one of my favorite games of all time, Mercenaries, Playground of Destruction.
See, yeah, you bringing up Mercenaries reminded me another couple games for the PlayStation that I really enjoyed, just like Freedom Fighters, stuff like that. Like, I remember going over to a friend's house after school and playing that all the time, and like, it was a great co-op game. And what's the other game? You reminded me of another one and I can't think of it.
A sports game, maybe.
Well, I thought about NFL. What's that?
NFL 2K5.
Yeah, the one where you can own a house.
The best football game of all time.
NBA Ballers too was my game too. That was cool. You could like get mansions and cars and crap.
Right. Yeah, when you said NFL 2K5, that brought me back to using that. You could also on the original Xbox put your CDs you put on there, you could put songs in for the stadium music instead. So I'd put like, I loved Bon Jovi as a kid, so I put like Wanted Dead or Alive as our touchdown. And they even had it where you could do the halftime one and all this stuff. It was epic.
That's I wish they would go back to games like that. I miss being
instead of microtransactions.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so tired of microtransactions that get you nothing. Like, give us something where we can customize in game. Like, I wish they'd do that to FIFA. I wish they would put in FIFA. I wish they could like add where you could buy a house and like customize it a little bit. Like, that'd be kind of cool.
It's all just sterile.
Yeah, it's just,
and it's all through menus, and it's just
menus and basic.
No creativity anymore, and it's just the same one as the year before with teeny bit of tiny graphics. Like, maybe like one character, like the character models will be slightly better.
So EA, if you're ever gonna listen to us, you need to because we have some great ideas.
Right. Instead of taking out features in Madden and stuff, they should have added features and never removed one feature.
Like the customizable stadiums. Oh, I miss that.
Oh, especially in Madden 06.
Oh, God.
And you could also have, you couldn't really have like you mansions in the game. It would just be like a 2D background is all it would be on like the one from 2K5 where you could customize it.
And you could actually go,
but it would
through,
it'd still be cool because you could do the NFL superstar mode where you just play as one character and they'd have a house in the background. And it was still something to work for.
Yeah.
In these newer games, there's like nothing to work for, because once you're in the Super Bowl, it's the exact same animation from 10 fucking years ago. Literally 10 years ago, this animation for the Super Bowl victory is the exact same, and the commentary is the same. It's just awful.
See, I'll give FIFA that. They update their rosters continuously. They update the commentary.
Yep.
Like, I'll give them that. They add that in at least, so it's not just the same every single
Which
time.
I don't get. I think it's the same people that make Madden, the same mm-hmm. studio. Of course, they're all EA, but I'm pretty sure the same studio, or at least the ones close to them. I don't know.
I thought in the newer Madden games they started updating the commentary, because I feel like I've seen the screen, yeah.
But it's more repeating still.
Yeah.
It's less often, but I'd always get repeats on it. I was talking about the PS2. You talked about the PS2. It was, I guess I'll add the PS2 as an honorable mention, because it was one of my favorite Christmas gifts was the PlayStation 2. I remember going downstairs at my grandparents' house while they got it out, and me and my brother were down there, and then they told us to come up, and we had been asking for a PS2 forever, because we had only game we had console we'd had at that point was a Genesis. And I remember us coming up and seeing the PS2 with the, it was Gran Turismo 3 A-Spec was packed in, and it was like a red box with a car on it. And I mean, when me and him saw that, we started screaming like little girls and like almost crying, and we were so excited. And then the next day, in our stockings, we got memory cards for us each and controllers for us each, and we got SSX Tricky, a steering wheel, and what else was that? Did we get? We got a bunch of stuff for it, and we just played it all that Christmas day and the day after and the day after. It was crazy.
Those were the days, man.
I know. It's just bringing back memories. Thinking like, about PS2.
Thinking about all the old consoles I've played. Like, I remember getting games for them. I remember playing them for the first time. Like, nowadays, it's just like, eh. I'm old. I don't care as much. Like, back then, it's just like, oh my god, I can't wait to get home and play this. Like, I mean, I do that now still, but at the same time, like, it's not as aesthetically pleasing, I guess.
Yeah. I wish I had more old consoles. I have a couple. Like, I have an original Xbox, but the disc drive is terrible on it. I did have a PS2 I shouldn't have sold, though.
Yeah, my Mountain Dew limited edition Xbox needs a hard drive swap. I have you the have parts. The yeah, I just... It just seems like a lot of work.
It's not. It's like 15 minutes worth of work. I already know where all the screws are on an original Xbox, because I've had to open up mine like 1,000 times.
But, I think that's gonna... Yeah, I think that's gonna end this week's episode. If you guys enjoy what you're hearing, go ahead and leave us a review, like I said. Give us a 5-star rating. Tell us how great we did. Favorite the podcast. It lets us know that we're doing a great job.
Yeah, we also have social nets. I don't know exactly what our Twitter handle is. What is it?
It's going to be AT... I'm pretty sure it's just at AT Gaming.
Yeah, follow us at that. He's going to look it up real fast. We know
just,
for sure.
Yeah, just to give you... Oh, it's at AT Gaming Pod is our Twitter. Facebook, we just started that. I'm pretty sure it's the same thing, AT Gaming Pod.
Yeah, follow us on our social nets then. And
we post. I post on there a lot too. I share the episodes a couple of times a week to kind of just remind people, because Facebook especially doesn't like to show it up. So.
Yeah, thanks for listening, and I think we're good for tonight.
Yeah, we'll see you guys next week.